This is The Omnichannel Marketer, the show where we get real about what it takes to build a brand, create a seamless omnichannel experience, and drive customer LTV across D2C, Amazon, and retail. I'm Kate Stevens, the CEO of Bridge. Join me for unfiltered conversations from the trenches of e-commerce. We'll unpack strategy and leave you with tactical advice you can use today to drive your business forward. Let's rock and roll. Hi, everyone. This is Kate Stevens. Welcome back to another episode of The Omnichannel Marketer. Today, I'm excited to have Sarah McNamara, EVP and General Manager at Peter Thomas Roth, joining us. So, Sarah, I'd love to just get started with your personal background. You know, what's your background? You know, how did you get to Peter Thomas Roth?
So great to be here. My background is I'm a New Zealander, was born and raised in New Zealand. I always had a passion for beauty as a younger person. And out of school, I joined Unilever, which was at that time a big player in the luxury beauty market. They owned Elizabeth Arden and 30 other fragrance brands, Fendi, Valentino, Chloe, Lagerfeld, Taylor Fragrances, Calvin Klein. So out of New Zealand, I started as a marketing associate. I spent 10 years with Unilever and ended up as a regional director for Asia Pacific, running marketing, reporting into New York, and had a great experience living in Japan and Asia and really building out their Asia Pacific business. Then I joined Goldman Sachs for a few years in Hong Kong and in New York. And then I left and I joined L'Oreal on the Lancome team, which was fantastic. And then I started my own business and consulting business where I developed and launched Miracle Skin Transformer, which was the first BB cream ever to be launched in the US at Sephora. So it was a really unique trend to bring to the US. It was a first ever, you know, multi-purpose moisturizer, sunscreen, primer, foundation, all in one. And it had a really unique formula at that time. So it was super exciting. And I basically grew the brand. We did $35 million in revenue and I took on some partners. And anyway, a long story short, that didn't work out because I had sold my partnership, my operating interest too early, which was a good lesson learned. Mm. And so then I joined Peter Thomas Roth in 2016, and I was just so blown away by the company and Peter and, you know, all that they had to offer as a brand with their really unique formulas, their powerful innovation platform, which really is driven from, you know, having their own R&D facility. And so that was really great opportunity. I've been there ever since, and we've been working together, and, you know, the brand has done really well. So I've really enjoyed it. So kind of a colorful career in multinationals and then also having my own brand for a while and then now at a family business. So I couldn't be happier.
Amazing. So tell us a little bit more about the brand story and positioning of Peter Thomas Roth.
Sure. Well, Peter obviously founded the brand many years ago. He was also passionate about skincare. He had problem skin as a younger person, as an adult, and was very interested in different, you know, ingredients that would help his skin. And so he basically, his family's from Hungary and they're also in the wellness business. So they had spas. And so he then started formulating different products and launched his company 27 years ago and really has one other partner, a woman called June Jacobs. And together they've built a very mighty empire.
And how did that business start as it related to channel expansion?
Well, I think PTR, as we call it, Peter Thomas Roth, has a really pronounced DNA in that it's in clinical skincare. We stand behind our formulas with clinical testing, powerful ingredients that are formulated at a clinical level. So it's a very results-oriented brand. So our first big step into, other than, you know, being out of a doctor's office and with derms, was really to launch in Sephora. And we were the very first brand, one of the first brands to launch ever in the first Sephora store, the US, which is a beautiful long legacy of partnership with Sephora.
And what does the brand's distribution look like now?
Well, Sephora's always been our global partner. So we have a great business with Sephora in North America. And we also around the world and most markets, we've remained exclusive with Sephora in China and most of Southeast Asia, Australia and New Zealand. And then we have some other partnerships. We have a really strong presence in the Nordic region and also some strong business in Europe. So not in Europe, in the UK. And in Europe, we just have a much smaller presentation right now. So North America is really our biggest market, obviously by far. And then in the US, we have our other partner, which is Ulta. And so we have Sephora and Ulta and Amazon are the major three partners, also with QVC too. We also have a good solid business with QVC.
And will you sell direct to consumer on your website as well?
Yes, we do.
So how do you think about the end-to-end brand experience across all of those different channels? And, you know, what does PTR do to, you know, differentiate here?
Well, I think the philosophy is fairly simple. As good marketers, we need to be current and a juxtaposition and really being where the consumer is shopping. It's such a dynamic industry that beauty is changing constantly and re-evolving, particularly in the omni-channel area. So if you don't adopt those strategies quickly, you snooze, you lose, in my opinion. So we've seen that work with our Amazon business being very successful, where, you know, consumers only want to shop on Amazon. We are there. So obviously with Sephora and Ulta, they have their tremendous loyalty programs. And I think what we've done and what we've mastered as a brand is really being, you know, good partners to all of our channels and being fair and playing in them when it's appropriate and responsibly.
What are other ways that you're seeing beauty change? You know, you have a deep background in the space, you know, as you mentioned, with multinationals at a startup. What are some of the key changes that you're seeing right now?
Well, I think it's really significant, unprecedented change, and it's being driven from digital. I think we've seen what the impact of social media is. And if you don't, again, play in those certain spaces, you know, you lose. You have to really be very, very in touch with who your demographic is, who your consumer is, and market to them wherever they want to be. It's that simple. Don't get me wrong. I love department stores. You know, I think they're an incredible thing, but that business is shrinking. So the consumer is moving quickly and shopping differently. You know, take an example, look at Instacart being offered through Sephora. That's, you know, that just says it right there. They want to be where the consumer is. So I think it's really understanding that and making it easy for.
And who is the primary PTR consumer?
Well, it's such an interesting question to say that. I mean, we are, you know, a legacy brand. We skew older, but what I'm saying, Gen Z, Gen X, you know, Gen Alpha, believe it or not, we're playing across those demographics, but we are very aware within our portfolio of innovation that we really are a brand that can offer premium skincare to different demographics. So because we're a sort of like an older brand, we definitely have our retinols and our more potent anti-aging products that we focus on an older demographic. And we, you know, we do that through channels like QVC. So we really cleverly work on our assortment and, you know, we manage our assortment to really focus on where our demographic is. And an example of that is QVC. We have a different assortment. And then even Ulta versus Sephora skew very differently. And then when we're looking to target, you know, recruiting new consumers into the brand, we look at different points of innovation. For example, our cult eye gel patches, you know, which really, you know, the Gen Alphas love, the Gen X, the Gen Zs, they all love that, but it's something that everybody can lean into and enjoy. And so it's also a very playful, demonstrative skincare approach by having these beautiful colored eye gels, also, you know, hydrating the skin, the eye area.
So do those eye gels become a good entry point into the brand?
Yes, I think so, because they're very universal. We have, you know, six different flavors and some formulated for, you know, detoxing and hydration, and others are more potent for, you know, cell renewal and exfoliation. So we have different levels of strength in them. And one of the things that we do as a brand is all of the information on our packaging is very transparent. We give a lot of really important information, and we always state the potency of our ingredients and where the active levels are. So everyone and the usage and how to use it and if there's any issues. And I think that's really an important thing to have as a brand when we see what's happening with Gen Alphas, you know, that they're so excited by beauty, which is a wonderful thing. So now it's our job to really educate them in a way that's safe.
So you mentioned kind of QVC skews your older audience, and, you know, Sephora and Ulta are even, you know, different assortments, you know, targeting different audiences. For that younger demographic, is it TikTok shop? Is it Instagram? You know, where are you focused on, or maybe it's Sephora, where are you focused on with those customers?
Sephora, Ulta, and TikTok shop, definitely. You know, obviously TikTok shop is new and it's getting a lot of traction. There's a lot to work out there. You know, we're working with them now. We have, you know, an interesting and appropriate strategy there, but we really are seeing, you know, more of the viral trends really pick up through TikTok shop. And I think, you know, depending what happens with TikTok ongoing here in the US, it will, you know, if it's not as it is now in a different format, I think it's going to be a major player. And I think Amazon will continue to grow too, but probably develop more of a live shopping concept.
Interesting. And then, you know,
obviously I just want to state these are my opinions, but
sure.
You know, I'm pretty deeped in research. So I really come from a place of looking at the data. And, you know, I think that's what's been really interesting about navigating through this challenging time.
I fully agree with you on TikTok shop and Amazon, and have, you know, stated a similar opinion that, you know, I think that TikTok shop is actually kind of the next Amazon, but it's something like 50% of shopping searches start on Amazon now, which is, you know, the volume of that is huge.
And it's interesting to look at the Lauder group, which, you know, I love spending time at L'Oreal and being at L'Oreal, and I have a lot of respect for the Lauder group. But as you know, they just launched Clinique yesterday on Amazon, and it's interesting with their portfolio of brands how, you know, they stood firm of not entering that channel for so long. And, you know, one has to wonder why, you know, that was their strategy, but obviously that they're very committed to the department store business. But, you know, eventually it made sense to them, which just really tells you where that's going. I'm glad we were an early adopter.
Makes complete sense. And, you know, as an omnichannel brand with different assortments across different categories, you know, targeting multiple age groups and demographics, how do you kind of tie all of that together with this end-to-end brand experience?
Well, I think, you know, interestingly enough, it's very well thought through. Obviously, we look at our business and decide where are we going to spend our upper funnel investment and lower funnel, and we develop, you know, marketing campaigns and budgets around those channels that are appropriate in terms of where we want to grow market share, where we want to maintain. So, you know, with different channels require different things. I think in Sephora, you know, we lead with innovation. We have some very interesting things happening this year around campaigns with some very interesting mother and daughter combinations that I think will be very high profile. Again, just reinforcing, you know, the mother can shop at PTR and so can the daughter, but really fun, dynamic combinations of influences that are really going to speak to our main franchise, like Water Drench, for example. We have our Water Drench original cream, which is our number one SKU worldwide. We do huge volume in that SKU. And we also have launched a rich version, which is great for different reasons, for a different drier skin, a more rich consistency and texture. So always thinking about what we can do to recruit in new customers and then also maintain a customer that has skin that, you know, obviously we're all aging and wants more out of clinical skincare. Plus we also have, we've had and maintained a good acne business. It was bigger, but, you know, obviously it's become more competitive at a drugstore level, but we still have a good acne line, which is also really good. So yeah, getting back to your question, I think we develop the campaign strategies around the channels where be appropriate. You know, we recently launched a really great ultimate solution eye cream at Ulta, had a very strong launch and campaign that made sense for Ulta, then Sephora. And then really with our own .com business, we really, that's sort of a window into the brand. We're actually going into a big renovation we're excited about. We'll be launching a new website in August of this year, which will be a fantastic resource for consumers. And then we're appropriately, you know, we market to those consumers that are loyal to that particular site. But, you know, with everything, there are distinctive channels. Like you get a loyalist at Sephora that only wants to shop at Sephora to build her points, and she doesn't want to shop on Amazon. And then you get somebody that really wants to just be on Amazon and not shop anywhere else. So it's again, just really understanding where she's shopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes complete sense. So something I like to ask all of my guests are, you know, a topic that they feel boldly or passionately about. So Sarah, would love to hear what that is for you.
I think for me, passionately, I think we're moving so quickly. And I think the industry is a big pollutant to the environment. And I know myself and my team are very dedicated at PTR to really look at our footprint on the world. And we've just gone through a major sustainability study and repackaged. We're in the process of repackaging a lot of our brand. And we're focused now. We launched our first refillable products, both in serums and in creams. So that's pretty exciting to me, because I think, you know, as an industry at large, you know, we do, you know, we are a pollutant. And I think moving into that framework where we don't, we're lessening that all the time is so important. And I think that's great with both Sephora and Ulta's core values as partners. We're all working together to be able to really be conscious about what we're launching with over packaging formulas. You know, it's important. Every brand should be delivering a clean formula. That goes without saying, but just the whole 360, it's definitely costing us all a lot more money, but that's life in the big city, as they say. You know, everybody's investing a lot of these ingredients a lot more, you know, they cost a lot more money. So, but I definitely am passionate about that.
It makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, the consumer is kind of demanding it too. So
yes.
It makes a lot of sense as it relates to your, you know, broader strategy. Moving into our lightning round. So kind of just, you know, quick questions, quick answers. Favorite omnichannel brand?
God, what am I thinking? Favorite, you mean a beauty brand or any brand?
Any brand.
What am I thinking about? I like Moroccan oil.
What is something you wish you could change about our industry?
I think the value, the fact that we as an industry are fighting across channels on offering the consumer value, and nobody wins in the end of the day. So I think if there was, it goes in cycles. We saw that years ago with department stores and gift with purchase. Now we're back here again. And I think, you know, all of the competitors, Amazon, Ulta, Sephora, everyone's price matching. And, you know, it's only driving the prices in the wrong direction. So it's just harder to do business. I wish that we could, there would be, you know, and nobody's winning. So I think value's always an interesting conversation. I think we should always have value to the consumer, but it's just, as an industry, it makes it tougher to do business.
Favorite podcast?
I like Jay Shetty. I think he's an inspiration. So love his message. I think it's a really important message for everybody. And it's something that you can apply to the real world.
Awesome. Favorite newsletter?
Newsletter. I just love Women's Wear Daily. So I always read that cover to cover and all of their newsletters and articles. So I think it's pretty good in the beauty industry.
Of course. Favorite social media channel?
I still like Instagram. Play in all of them a little bit, but for me, I like Instagram.
Favorite book?
Well, that's certainly tough. I don't know. I think that's hard. I like The Art of War. So as a favorite, have so many. Thank you.
Of course. And then an event that you're excited about going to this year?
For me, in the industry, I think as an industry event, I go to a bunch of them, but I really do like the, for me, going to the Women's Wear Daily CEO beauty event they have every year. I think their exchange of information is really powerful. They have a lot of great presenters, and it's really meaningful information on market data, consumer data, which I find really important, just looking at different segments, and usually terrific content, great networking, and a fun event. So love that.
Awesome. Is there, you know, is there a piece of data or some sort of trend right now? I know we obviously talked about the speed of social media, but is there anything notable that you feel like you're really focused on now that is affecting the strategy at PTR?
I think if you look at Tribe, I think that's a great indicator on social media, actually. You know, obviously there's data and it's accumulating the right data. And I think for us, that's been a great benchmark to look at our performance and who's trending and what competitors are doing. So I would definitely just looking at that. And, you know, we've been using that as a benchmark, and we've done really well. So on Tribe, and that sort of, it's been great because obviously with the social strategy, so much goes into organic and influencer marketing and PR, and everything gets rolled up into one. So it's a great way to synthesize some of the data.
Perfect. Well, Sarah, really enjoyed this conversation. Where can our listeners connect with you?
On social media, so Sarah P. McNamara on Instagram, or I have a LinkedIn page.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Really enjoyed the conversation.
So much. Take care. Thanks.
If you liked this podcast, follow me and The Bridge page on LinkedIn and Twitter for hot takes and tactical advice. If you really loved today's episode, we'd love a review on the podcasting platform of your choice, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thanks for listening.